Lamed Gimel Amar Aleph, about three lines before it gets wide lines, there's a new Mishnah. Avedas Aviv, Avedas Aviv. Of a person, and he lost something, and his father lost something. Avedas Koidemis, going after his Aveda, takes precedence. Either his father's Aveda definitely won't be able to get afterwards, or maybe, either way, his takes precedence. Kama, avedas v'avedas, rabbi. If he lost something and his Rebbe lost something, we'll have to see who's considered his Rebbe. Well, again, shaloi koidem, his comes first. So basically, either way, his comes first. Kama, avedas aviv and avedas rabbi. If he didn't lose anything, but his father lost something and his Rebbe lost something, well, which one takes precedence? Shal rabbi koidemis. The Rebbe's, his, we'll call him his teacher maybe, his master, takes precedence. Sha'aviv hiviu la'olam hazeh, his father brought him into this world, in other words, physically responsible for his being. And I underline three words, v'rabbi shalomdo yichachma, his Rebbe who taught him wisdom, meviu l'chayei ha'olam haba, brings him to the next world. Kama ve'im aviv chacham, if his father is a wise man, ostensibly I'm going to understand that, and also taught him, the son, Torah, shall aviv koidemis, then his father takes precedence. Haya aviv rabbi noisin masui, another case, let's say his father and his Rebbe are both carrying a heavy load. Meiniach eshel rabbi v'achach meiniach eshel aviv. He helps out first his Rebbe and then his father. Kama haya aviv rabbi v'esa shavi. If both his father and his Rebbe were taken captive, who does he redeem first? Poides rabbi v'achach poides aviv. First he redeems his Rebbe, then he redeems his father. V'im aviv chacham. If his father is not only his father but also a wise man, and I think this is Lav Dafka, he even personally taught this on Torah, but maybe it's a communal need for the Chacham. Poda es aviv, he first redeems his father, v'achrach poides rabbi, and then his Rebbe. That is the Mishnah. Menahani mili, where do we know this? Namely, that if somebody lost something and his father lost something, his Aveda takes precedence. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, meaning going to spend time and look and search after his Aveda, takes precedence. Says Rav Yehuda Amarav, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says as follows, Efes ki lo yiye becha evyoin. There shall not be amongst you. It could have said in the Pasuk, Efes ki lo yiye evyoin. What's the ki lo yiye becha in you evyoin? Well, that means that you're baseline responsibility is yourself. Shelcha, your own things, koidim l'shel kol adam, take precedence over anybody else's things. Kama, now, don't take that to an extreme, because I'm Rav Yudamar Rav, kol ha-mekayim ba'atzmoy kach. If you take this to the logical extreme, where you're always trying to get what's yours, and you're always focusing on what's yours, and you turn into a very selfish person, and just like straight in, not give anyone anything that might cause a little bit of a loss, well, that's not the type of person the Lord showers with his blessings of bounty. Saif bal idekach, in the end, you yourself, who didn't want to properly do chesed and tzedakah, will lose all of your things and end up having to rely on the tzedakah and chesed of others. Haya aviv rabbi noisin masui, the next case of the Mishnah was that if your father's carrying a heavy load and your Rebbe, etc. Tan Rabbanan, we have a three-way machlaikis in the following brisa. The brisa goes for about 2.5 lines. Rabbi sha'amrai, when we're talking about your rabbi, what does that mean specifically? Now, it's interesting because a lot of these, I guess they're all either brises or mishnayis, there was no formal gemara yet. And therefore, when they use the term, when the term Gemara is used before Vino Ravashi, it must be something a little bit different. It's not like the Talmud Bavli we have now. So Rabbi Sha'amrai, the first understanding is, I underline three words, Rabbi Shalamdai Chachma. It's the Rebbe who taught you chachma, basically logic and reasoning of the Mishnayos to understand so that the Mishnayos don't contradict each other, and what's the reason why something's aser, why something's mutter, why someone's chayev, why they'd be putter. It's basically what was known as Gemara. Now, obviously, that was time of the Tanaim. It was before there was what we call Gemara, but that's what throughout Jewish history, from Moshe Mi-Sinai until now, was known as Gemara. It's just that they formalized it into Talmud Bavli about the year 5600. V'loy Rabbi Shalomdoi, again, so the rabbi that we're talking about is the one who taught you Chochmah, which is essentially basically Gemara and everything associated with Gemara, the logic, the reasoning. V'loy Rabbi Shalomdoi, not your teacher who taught you Mikra Psukim or Mishnah, Mishnayos Divrei Rabbi Meir, I boxed Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, second opinion, is also boxed by Meir. Who's a rabbi? It's Kol Sheroiv Chochmah Soi Heimenu. It really has nothing to do with what he's teaching you, specifically Gemara. It's how much of your wisdom, if the majority of your wisdom comes from him, and Rashi says whether it's in Psukim, whether it's in Mishnayos, whatever it is, if majority of your wisdom comes from that person, that's your rabbi. I guess if you don't have the majority of wisdom from any one person, then you don't have an official rabbi. Reb Yossi, who we boxed, the third opinion, Oimer, Afilu loy heyer einav ella b'mishnah achas, even if the other person only enlightened your eyes in one mishnah, meaning one thing that you couldn't figure out and he explained it to you, zehu rabbi, that would count as rabbi. That's the end of the Tanaic source. Amar Rava, kigain Rav Schaira, similar to Rav Schaira, Rava says, da Asbrin, he explained what a Zohama Listerone is. And Zohama Listerone is essentially like sort of a spatula that was used to move the froth off of the top of a boiling, let's say, soup or stew. He didn't know what it was, and this was explained, what his Zohama Listerone was, that would make him, according to Rabbi Yossi, his rabbi. Shmuel kara ma'ane ale hahumi rabbanan. Shmuel actually once tore his clothes, like tore kriya, for one of his rebbe's, De Azbere, who explained this Mishnah, brought him a Sechas Tamid, when the Beis HaMikdash would open early in the morning, the one who would open it would have two keys, similar to like a safe deposit box, if people are familiar with that, where often if you just have one key that's not good enough, often it's the bank's key and your key together. So to hear the main entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a regular key that would go in, I guess, to that main door. And then there was this other sort of secondary key. It wasn't like a safe deposit box with it next to each other. You had to kind of reach your arm in through this small, like into the thickness of the wall and like around, then you would stick another key in, and that's how it would open. And that's the understanding of the, here's a quote from a Tanakh source. It goes about seven words. Echad yored la'amas hashechi ve'echad poiseach kivan. So one of your hands with one of the keys would go, like you would reach all the way in until your armpit, and then you would reach this like internal lock. Ve'echad, and the other one of the keys that you had would poiseach kivan. It would open straight away. Okay, that's another example of something that was explained to Shmuel as to how to understand that Tanaic source. Period. Amar Ula, Tamidei Chachamim Shebabavel, the Babylonian Talmud scholars, Oimdin Zem Nezeh, they would stand up one for another, Vekarin Zelzeh, and they would tear Kriya one for the other. However, Le'inyin, Avda B'Mokayim Aviv, if something was lost, and in place of the father, Einan Chayzrin El Rabbi Muvak. They wouldn't go back, except it was specifically for your Rabbi Muvak, which we'll say is like Rabbi Yehuda up above about six lines ago, who had said that the majority of your wisdom is from that Rabbi. Period. Kaboy Mine Rav Chista Mi Rav Huna. Rav Chista had asked Rav Huna. Now, he was a Talmud, but it was someone that the Rebbe used to need. Now, when Rav Chista asked Rav Huna that, Rav Huna's going to get a bit insulted because Rav Huna feels that Rav Chista's saying that he, Rav Huna, needs Rav Chista. So Rav Chista asked Rav Huna, Talmud, he asks his Rebbe, if there's a student, Vitzarech Le Rabbi, but his Rebbe needs him. Now, needs him not for everything, but like he's very sharp, this student. So he helps the Rebbe sharpen his learning, and sometimes improves it. So my, what would we say over there? Now, Rav Huna apparently took affront to that question, maybe the way it was asked or the way he felt it was asked, Amrale, and he said to one of, I guess it was a star student, Chista, Chista, Loi Tzrichna Lach, I don't need you, At Tzrichas Li, you need me. And apparently there was a little bit of disharmony between the two of them from that point on. Ad Arba'in Shanin, it seems like 40 years, Ikbid Ahadadi, they were quite particular in one another, Velo Aili Legabi Adad, and they basically didn't see each other. They didn't go in to see each other. Kama. Now, it seems like each one of them had a bit of a guilty conscience for what they did, because Yosef Rav Chista sat Arba'in Tanisa 40 fasts, Mishum. Why? Dechalash Daite de Rav Huna. He made Rav Huna feel a little bit bummed out, a little bit depressed. And Yosef Rav Huna the Rebbe, sat Arba'in Tanisa. He also, I guess in his own way, fasted 40 fasts, separate from Rav Chista. Mishum de chashtei de Rav Chista, because he had suspected his prize student Rav Chista. Period. Itmar, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, I circled Rav Yochanan. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that basically, when we're talking about Rabbi in the Mishnah, it's a person that you have learned the majority of your chachma from. Rav Achabar, Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, the halacha is like Rav Yossi, that even if the person taught you pshat in one Mishnah that you didn't know. Now, the Gemara asks, the first opinion here was Rav Yochanan, really? Umiyam Rav Yochanan Hachi, that Rabbo is somebody who's taught you the majority of your wisdom? Vahama Rav Yochanan, halacha is like a stam Mishnah. Okay, we know Rabbi Yochanan told us this, and what does a stam Mishnah say if it's none? Here's a three-word quote from a stam Mishnah, Rabbi Shalomdoi Chachma. That's basically our Mishnah. Huh. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we only someone you learn like the majority of your wisdom from is his Rabbi Shalamda Chachma? Sounds like any wisdom he taught you becomes your Rebbe. So the Gemara answers that no. What did we mean in the Mishnah when it says my one word in right angles Chachma? Rov Chachma. So that shouldn't just mean a piece of wisdom. Rather, it means the majority of your wisdom. In other words, like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Period. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Brisa. Goes for almost two lines. Ha'iskin b'mikra, those who delve into... Now remember, this is also a time when Tarsha Balpeh Gemara, as we know it, really was Balpeh. It hadn't been formally codified. So those who... It doesn't say ha'lomed b'mikra, or ha'oiskin, like get very involved in mikra, mida ve'ena mida. That's kind of like a good thing and kind of not like such a good thing. It could be like a better time spent to at least spend some of your time learning a Mishnah and Gemara. Kama b'mishnah, somebody who gets really involved in a Mishnah. Mida, that's it's also good. It's got some good things to it. The Neitlin aleha schar, and there'll be a reward for that. Kama Gemara, ain lecha mida gedayla mizu. Ain't no mida greater than that. Lula aylab. Continues and ends this Tanaic source. Really, a person have a Ratzlam Mishnah, you should run to spend time learning Mishnayas. You're used to meaning Gemara even more than Gemara. Okay, that is interesting. That's the end of the Tanaic source. Seems a little bit self-contradictory. Hagu Vakasha, colon. Amris on the one, and you said here's a six-word quote from the Tanaic source we just finished quoting. Big Gemara, when it comes to Gemara, ain l'chamida g'day l'mizu, there ain't nothing better than that. Sounds like Gemara is tops. Kama v'hadar Amar. And then, like, the next phrase was, and here it is in right angles, Lo'ilam evi ratzlam mishnah yosim min ha-gemara. Person should always run to learn Mishnayos more than Gemara. So which way is it? You go for Mishnayos, you go for Gemara. And Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan explains, it really depends on the time and the place and what the, we'll say, the current overemphasis in the learning society is. You might have to compensate the other way. So, Bimei Rebbe, in the time of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, that's when the Tanaic source was taught, Nishis Mishnah Zu. What happened when the Mishnah was taught that everyone should learn Gemara? Well, everyone learned Gemara all the time. Shavku Kuleyama, many people left the Masnisin, learning Mishnayis, Va'azda Vasa Gemara, and they spent the majority of their time, all their time, doing Gemara. Kama hadar darish luhu. So he then pointed out that, I guess back to a ideal balance, that the conclusion of the Tanaic source, I put in right angles, lo idlam hevi rasa mishnah yoyis mina Gemara, that they should always sort of like run after Mishnayis more than Gemara. Of course, you need both to have clarity, period. My darush, what did Rebbe feel was the proper way of learning that when he taught that Gemara is the greatest. Well, Kedidarsh Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi, like Kedarshan, my Dixiv, is a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Hageid la'ami pisham ulaveis yankiv chatasam. I will tell my people their willful sins and the house of Jacob their mistakes. Now, obviously, a willful sin is much more. Why are we referring to my people as the ones who do willful sins and the house of Yankiv as being the mistake or mistaken sinners? So, I underlined here three words, Hageid Lami Pisham. Who's that referring to? Ami Hashem, when speaking to the Navi, my people is my nation. Elu Tamidei Chachamim, Sheshkagais Na'asais Lahem Kizdainais, that the mistakes that they make are for them like willful sins, comma. And on the next few words, the Leves Yankov Chatosam, and the house of Jacob, their mistaken transgressions. Elu, that's referring to the Ama Aretz, the ignorant ones. Shezidoinois, even the things that they do purposely wrong. Nasaisam Kishkagois, is to them like mistakes, which there are those who want to say that Hageid Lahem Pisham, when you say Tamid Chachamim, when you have a Talmud Chacham, he's really focused. Even the things he does accidentally feels terrible about. The Nasa Yislahem Kizdainis isn't that like Shamayim considers it that way. It's that the Talmud Chacham himself views it as though it's like a terrible thing, even though it's only a mistake. And that's the way, don't want to take it too far, but that's the way he improves himself. Whereas when you're talking about the Amaratzim, even the things they do knowingly wrong, not so bad. It's like a mistake. Don't worry about it. Who really cares? Period. V'hainu tzitzan, and that's similar to that which is Mishnah Maseches in Pirkei Avos, goes just over a line. We box it off. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, have a zar b'talmud. Be very careful when it comes to Talmud. Talmud would be Gemara, which is like the way to understand clearly the Mishnayos. Sheshigagas Talmud oile zodoin. Because if you make a mistake, now this is specifically like in giving psak or coming to a conclusion, that could be very detrimental, and therefore it's really important when you're learning the Mishnayos or the Gemara on the Mishnayos that you get clear the reasons, the logic, the svara behind the Mishnayos. That's the end of the Tanaic source. That Darsh Rav Yehuda Bar Rabba Loi, my Dixiv, how do we understand the pasuk right at the end of Yishai that says, Shimu, Dvar Hashem, we're going to go phrase by phrase of this pasuk, listen to the words of the Lord, Haredim al Dvaroi, those who take seriously and focus, and Haredim could be trembling or like really intensely serious to his words, Hashem's words, that's referring to Elu, Talmidei Chachamim. Talmid Chacham literally means the student of a wise man who has spent a lot of time learning from Chachamim, getting a mahalich in learning, we would say these days. The pasuk continues two words, right, in quotation marks, Amru Achaychem, saith your brothers, that's the Baalei Mikra, those who are experts or those who know Psukim. Another word in quotation marks on the pasuk, Soinechem, your enemies, Elu Baalei Mishnah. Now, why are Baalei Mishnah called enemies? Because the ones who are experts in Mishnah, and only Mishnah, they don't like the Gemara experts, because the Gemara experts say regarding the those who are expert only in Mishnah, that they basically like are destroyers of the world, and which group of people likes to be known as the destroyers of the world? The next word of the pasuk, I put in quotation marks, Menadechem. Who are the Menadechem? Like from the term like Nidui, those who are excommunicated or cast aside. Those are the Amaratzim. The Amaratzim are cast aside because they despise the Talmidei Chachamim. Shema Taimar, maybe you'll say upon hearing all of this, Pasak Sivram Ubatel Sikuyam, that they're understanding is finished and their hope for the future is nullified. Tom Olimar, again, continuing in the pasuk, two words, v'nire b'simchaschem. We will see. Nire is a plural term. We all will see. It doesn't say v'era and I will see. It says, and we, like we all together, we'll see in the joy. Now, Shema Tomer Yisrael Yevoishu, maybe you'll say that in the future the Jews are going to be terribly embarrassed. No, Tamalaymar, the Haim Yevoishu, those two words in quotation marks, they, meaning the Ovdei Kechavim Yevoishu, the Gentiles will be horrifically embarrassed for Yisrael, Yismachu, but the Jewish people will be very joyous. Hadran Alach Elo Metzias. We now start the third parak, parak ha-mafked. Ha-mafked is a chaver behemoy kelim. If I deposit with my buddy an animal or utensils, and then shortly afterwards, v'nignivu eshavdu, if they are stolen from him or lost. Now, he was responsible for them. He has two options. He can either pay their value and doesn't have to do anything else like swear, or he could swear whatever he has to swear, like it wasn't negligent and he didn't do anything wrong, he doesn't have it, and then he doesn't have to pay up for it. So I underline four words. Shilaim v'lay ratz l'shav, if he decides to go with the route of compensating. So let's say it was the Emerald Green bowling ball worth $50. He says, here, listen, Bob, I'll give you $50. Now, can he do that? Yeah. I almost parenthetically says the Mishnah, Shari Amru Shem Rechinam, a person who was watching something just for no pay, Nishma v'yotze is allowed to just swear that, you know, he didn't take it and he wasn't negligent, and yotze, he's fine. Now, what happens if, I don't know, a week or a month later, they catch the thief with the emerald green bowling ball in his possession? Nimsa ganav, mishalim, that ganav is going to have to pay a tashlume kefil, a double payment. And if it happened to be not an emerald green bowling ball, but like a sheep or a cow, tavachu machar, if the person who stole it had slaughtered it or sold it, mishalim tashlum hamechamisha, then it has to pay four or five times. Now, lemi mishalim, who gets like the windfall here? So the thing was stolen, the emerald green bowling ball is $50. The fellow who was watching it, the shomer chinam, decided to pay $50. Who gets the like additional 50 in that case? Or if it was a sheep or a cow, who gets the additional three or four times? Well, according to, if this is what happened, Lemisha ha-pikadon etzloi, otherwise known as the shomer, the one who had the item with him at the time it was stolen. Nishpa, which I underline, let's say he takes the other option. Let's say he takes the option of, I'm going to swear, and he swears whatever he has to. V'lei ratz l'shalom, he doesn't have to pay anything then, because he's a shomer chinam. What happens then if a week or a month, or however much longer, nimtza ganav, the thief is found, mishalom tashlumei kefel, then the thief has to pay double, or if it was a animal, like a cow or a sheep, tavach umachar, and he slaughtered or sold him, mishalom tashlumei chamisha, then he pays four or five times. Lemi mishalim, who gets the additional payment, the double payment, meaning like the additional value, or the four or five times? Well, lebala pikadon, to the owner of this item. Okay, we start off the Mishnah talking about if I deposit with my friend animal or kelim. Lama leila misne behema, lama leila misne kelim. Why do I have to teach both cases? Why not just teach one and I would know the other? Well, Tzrichi, you got to mention both animal and you also have to mention kelim. And here's why. Colon. D-E-I squiggle, underline the word D-E-I tana behema. If it would have taught the Mishnah behema, if I deposit a behema with my friend and then it turns out that it gets stolen and I pay for its value and then the thief is found, I, the one who was watching it, get the double payment or the four or five payment. Havamina, I would have thought, you know why that is? Because what was I watching? I was watching this animal. Was it getting paid for it? No. Behema, hu de makni le kfela. That's where the makni le, that the owner, at the time that he originally gave it over to the guy to watch, to the shomer, he, so to speak, when he gives it over, transferred the potential, should it be stolen, should it then the gun have come back, and found that potential double payment, mishum de nafish tircha. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he transfer that potential windfall in the future? Because it's a lot of hassle, li'ula ula'afuka, to take the animal out, to take the animal in, to take the animal up, to take the animal down, to deal with the animal. However, if that was the only example given in the Mishnah, I would have thought if it was just like a frying pan, aval kalim, t'lo nafish tirchayu. You don't have to do anything with it. Guy gives you a frying pan to watch, you take it in and put it up on the top shelf. I might have thought, lo makni lake fela, that the owner doesn't transfer over the time he gives the item to the shomer to watch the potential that should it be stolen, and then a ganav returns it to get the kefil payment. Comma. And that's why it had to teach kalim. Okay, then why not just teach kalim? V'e, I squiggle on the word de. V'e, tana kalim, havamin, I would have thought, kalim, who de ka makni lake fela, that's where the owner of the item at the time that it was originally given over transfers that potential kefel windfall to the guys watching him, mishum deloy nafish kiflayu. Because what's the most Ghana would have to pay if he stole the frying pan? Double. Kama aval behemo. Ooh, if it was an animal like a sheep or a cow. Tichi tavach umachar mishum tashum erach hamisha. Where if the person who stole it, slaughtered it, or sold it, there's like a significant windfall, four times, five times. Amai might have thought, lo machni le kfela, that in general at the time the animal was originally given over, that whole idea of the potential, should it get stolen and paid back, maybe that the owner of the item would not give over, like the double payment, fine, but not the four or five payment. Therefore, tzricha, that's why you'd have the Mishnah give the case of both Behema and Kalim. Period. Now we have a question on the Mishnah. Maskif la rami bar chama. Veha, well, 1 second. So what are we saying? At the time that the item was given over, that potential, should like a whole bunch of things happen, is given over. But don't we have a principle of Ein Adam Machna Davar Lo Bal Olam? I can't transfer ownership to you something that doesn't yet exist. And at the time given over to you, it hadn't been stolen, nothing happened. Va'filu, even according to the Shitas Yochid of Rabbi Meir, who says, Adam Yes Machna Davar Shalo Bal Olam. Rabbi Meir is the Shitas Yochid, that individual opinion, not like the Rabbanan, who holds that a person can transfer something even if it hasn't yet come into existence, but that's limited. That's Hani Mili. Where is that? Kikoin Peiroi's Dekel, like the fruit of a palm tree, probably dates, Davidi Dasi. Like, I don't know, 99% of the time, even though it's before the season, but you wait till the season, the tree produces dates, and you'll have dates, because they assume they're going to come. Is it a possibility they won't come? Yeah, but like 99% of the time, do they come? Yeah, that's where Rabbi Meir says that a person, like, I can sell to you the rights to my dates, even though they haven't even started to grow yet. Aval Hocha, in this case, we have a few things going on here. When I give over, let's say, to a Shomer Chinam, my item, who says it's going to be stolen? The im, Tim Tzilomer, if you want to say to Mignava, it's stolen, me aimer to Mishkach Haskanav, who says the thief will be found? The im, Mishkach Haskanav, and even if the thief is found, me aimer to Mishalem, who says he's going to pay, like, the double payment? You never know, comma connector, Dilma Modi, umifter. Remember, he can be Modi, he can admit before, yes, he's brought into court, and then he's off the hook from paying anything other than the principal. So Amar Rava, this is Lashon number one. I put a Roman numeral one in the margin and circled Rava. About nine lines later, first word line is Rava. I circled that and put a Roman numeral two in the margin. We have two Lashonis of Rava. Here's the first. Amar Rava. What's going on here? Nasa, we make it a stam case. A person gives over an item to a Shem Echinam. It's as though we view it like, we're assuming this is what the stam das of the people is going to be, as though, he didn't have to say this. He didn't say it, but it's as though he said, ready for this? It's like a line. Let's say I'm giving Bob my cow to watch. We're going to assume, all else being equal, that when I give it over to him to watch, it's understood that I'm kind of like agreeing that if that gets stolen, that cow, and you agree, and you pay for the value of the cow, then at this moment that I'm handing over the cow to you, the cow is actually going to be retroactively acquired to you from now. Maskithla Rabzeira, underline Rabzeira. Rabzeira says, 1 second. If that's the case, that it turns out that it was really the Shomer's from the moment he got it, then shouldn't the Shomer be entitled, should the animal be stolen and all that, to the Gizaiseu Vladaiseha, the shearings if it's a sheep, or the offspring if it's a sheep or a cow? Alama Tanya, why though do we have a brisa that says that he gets the actual animal, but three words in a box, chutz mi Gizaiseu Vladaiseha, except if it's a sheep for the shearings that grew, or except for the offspring. Ella! So I squiggle it around the Ella, and we get a different approach. Alama Rav Zera. I struck Rav Zera, a slightly subtle difference, but still a difference. When I give over, let's say, my sheep to Bob, to watch a Shoshay Merchinam, Nase Kelim Merlo, it's viewed as though I said to him, Chutz mi Gizaiseu Vladaiseha. So it's like I said to him that you'll get the animal if it gets stolen, and then you agree, and you pay me, the animal's yours from now, except for whatever shearings or offspring come to be. My Pascha asked the Gemara, 1 second. So you're saying, even though this is all unspoken, that I'm giving over to him the rights of the animal itself, but not the shearings and the offspring. Why one and not the other? Well, because it just kind of makes sense. Sama de Milsa in general, Shvacha da Asa Ma'alma, Avad Inishte Makni. If it's some sort of like double payment that who knows where it's coming from, like how many times someone actually got the, but a person is normal for them to transfer that over to somebody else. However, shvachat migufa, something like the shearings of a sheep, which basically come all the time, or the offspring of the parah, which come quite often, lo avid inishta machni, it is not common for a person to transfer that, because it's more of a given, over to someone else. Period. Ika da amri. Ika da amri is on the third line when we had asked, like, who says any of those things are going to happen? Rava gave an approach. Here's a second approach within Rava. Ika da amri ama Rava. We circle this name, Roman numeral 2 in the margin. Naase ka'imr lai, we make it as though we had said to him, this is the person when he's giving over to the Shonar Chinam, let's say the sheep in the first place. If it's starting the same, if it happens to get stolen from you, Vatirsen, you agree, Vatishamen, and you pay me. Not that you're getting the animal, so to speak, from now, retroactively, but rather, I squiggle underline these four words, Samuch Lagene Vasa Knuyalach. Like, let's just view it one moment before it gets stolen, if it does get stolen, that's when it is acquired to you. Okay, that's the second Lashon of Rava. Is there any difference between Lashon 1 and Lashon 2? My Beinayu? Yes, there is. The Iga Beinayu, that which would be the difference between a Rava Roman numeral 1 and Rava Roman numeral 2, is the Kusha de Rebbe Zera. Remember, Reb Zera brought up the issue of what about, let's say the Shem was washing it for 3 months and it grew a lot of wool or it had a baby. That Kusha of Rebbe Zera would be one of the differences between Lashon 1 and Lashon 2. According to the second Lashon of Rava, you don't even ask about Yisrael Vladizia because the whole deal, the unspoken deal, was that the person who was watching it acquires it a moment before it was stolen. Inami, alternatively, dekaima be agam, where the animal itself was, when it was stolen, it was like way out in the pasture land somewhere, where according to the second Lashon, the person would not acquire the kefil, interestingly enough, because right before it was stolen, it was never in his chatzir. It was out, who knows where, no man's land, so therefore his chatzir doesn't have the ability to acquire it. Now, what about Mashiach? If you say that it was acquired from the first moment, okay, fine, that's a Mashiach at the time, but here, there is no Mashiach, and therefore, like, through what means, even retroactively, are we going to say that he acquired it? Adkan.